Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Alien Holiday by Tracy Lauren. Narrated by Eva Kane and Gabriel De Leon. Chapter 1. Low. As always, we are going to end our time together with Shavasana to rejuvenate our bodies and relax our minds. April's voice is as soothing as a lullaby. Allow yourself this moment to find inner peace. Let go of all the tension that might be coiling in your shoulders, your jaw, all the places we tend to keep so tightly wound. The more you let go, the more you'll get out of this pose. Fall deeper and deeper into Shavasana. Think of yourself as an asteroid coasting through space. You have no place to be but right where you are. Hermana is like a damn hypnotist. My ass is about to fall asleep over here. Still, I try to take deep breaths. In through my nose, out through my mouth. What's it matter if I breathe in through my mouth and out through my nose? Who would even know? My busy mind asks. I click my tongue at myself. April would. She's practically a damn Jedi, always catching me when I'm half-assing it. Shh. She glides by, hushing me gently with a soft smile. It's not a reprimand like teachers used to do when my mind was running a mile a minute in high school. It's more like a polite reminder to stay in the moment. In through your nose, out through your mouth. April tells the group, but she's looking at me. Damn, Bruja. She's reading my mind. So I close my eyes and focus on my breath, placing my hand on my stomach to feel the up and down motion. April says it helps to do this, and I guess it does. It is relaxing, especially on an overcast day like this one. All these gray clouds. It's the perfect day to sleep in. My mind wanders to my cozy bed back at the temple. My fluffy white comforter. I can just imagine a little warm seta in a mug, a crackling fire, and a plate of Holly's holiday cookies. She shapes them like all kinds of fun things. Christmas trees, reindeer. With the right ingredients, a day like today almost feels like Christmas. Almost. I want that feeling so bad. And it's times like this that memories of mi familia flood my mind. Mama, papa, all my tías and tíos, not to mention my 17 cousins. My abuelita Carmen. I know I shouldn't have a favorite grandmother, but I do. And hands down, it's Carmen. Then there's my abuela Valentina and my abuelo Cesar. And of course, my sisters Yesenia and Veronica, and our little brother Antonio. That little cabrón. I wonder what trouble he's getting into these days. Or if he has a serious girlfriend by now and is starting to act like a man. I let out a heavy sigh. Family. The thought makes me smile. Sí, claro. Yeah, right. It brings tears to my eyes. Here I am about to spend another Christmas without them. Don't get me wrong, I enjoy the company of everyone here in the village, I really do. But it's different. Most of these girls, well, they're white, which is fine. They just don't have a lot of the same tradiciones as my family, and as much as we all try to recreate our favorite home-cooked meals, no one else is missing menudo, if you know what I'm saying. At this point, I've completely forgotten about the Shavasana pose I'm supposed to be doing. And memories of home and the holidays flood my mind. I can't believe how much time has passed. Here I am, another year without abuelita's famous tamales y mamá's pozole. Oh, what I wouldn't do for some pozole on a cloudy day like this. Shh. April hushes me again, and my eyes blink open. Sorry. I blush. I was so lost in thought. I hope I didn't say anything out loud. Okay, clearing my mind. I'm in the moment, staring at the clouds floating overhead. They remind me of my cozy bed in the temple, which reminds me of a crackling fire. A warm cup of my favorite seta. I suck in a deep breath and release it slowly, through my mouth, as I listen to April's soothing tone.
Ayo, you forgot one!
I hear a man's voice shout. It's one of the aliens. And it's so loud I sit up with a start, only to realize I'm alone on the hill. One of the horned Vendari lingers behind the departing group, pointing me out to the others, and a few of the girls come jogging back, Mel, Holly, and April.
You fall asleep again?
April asks, an amused grin on her face.
Soy estúpida,
I mutter, rubbing my hands over my face.
Sorry, chicas, I don't know what happened.
Girl, you were daydreaming again. You need to learn how to be present in the moment, April instructs, lending me her hand. She helps tug me to my feet.
That was the problem. I was too in the moment. Shavasana makes me tired.
Hey, if you fall asleep during yoga, that just means you're really good at relaxing, right? Mel says, her demeanor bright.
I like the sound of relaxing better than daydreaming. I used to get in trouble for daydreaming.
April throws an arm around my shoulder.
Call it whatever you want to call it, as long as you enjoyed yourself.
Gracias a Dios por mis amigas.
I really am grateful for my friends. I force a smile to my face, even if I am unable to shake away that empty space in my heart that only my family can fill. I miss them. I think I always will, especially at this time of year. A wind picks up, hitting us with its chill, and we rub our arms to fight off the oncoming cold. The rainy season's going to start any day now.
Any day? I grimace.
More like any second. The ladies hum in agreement.
What would you ladies say to a fresh batch of cookies and a steaming mug of hot cocoa?
Holly offers.
Hot cocoa?
Our eyes shoot to our fellow abductee.
Okay, not hot cocoa, just seta, but we can pretend.
How festive, April teases, as we start making our way back to the village. I smile that hollow smile, but the wind is bitter, and the holidays seem empty without my family, my culture. Yes, thank God for friends. And cookies.
Chapter 2. Reza. I watch as the last of the aliens linger on the hill below. Their morning exercise is over, and they were on their way back to the ancient temple. But for some reason, one remained and the others had to return for her. For a moment, I thought she was ill. She lay there, sprawled out on the ground. Perhaps she was overworked. Though I don't see how. The exercise they do is slow-paced, to say the least. To be honest, I do not see the point of it. I've tried some of the motions, but they make no sense to me. After what seems like an eternity, the females finally begin their trek away from my mountainside, and I spit at the ground, glad they will be out of my sight. Until tomorrow, at least. These aliens are relentless. Day in and day out, they venture to the hill below my mountain. They do their pointless exercises, and then back down to the temple they go. Some nights it is quiet, and I can pretend they have not invaded my world. Other nights they shriek like angry birds and bang on obnoxious instruments, making it impossible to sleep. Aliens. They act as if they own this land. It is beyond rude, and as the seasons come and go, it seems they have no intention of leaving. More of them arrive all the time, and never once have they come to my cave to beg permission to occupy my ancestors' temple, or to farm the lands beyond. I shake my head in dismay as the trees eventually obstruct my view of them. Finally, I can go about my day. They force me to stand guard over my mountain each morning while they touch their toes and stick their asses in the air. Not that I worry about such a pathetic group. I just don't want them wandering up here, fouling up this space my family claimed so many seasons ago. The caves here belong to my parents, and they are mine now. Gods know the aliens would only trample the vegetation and make all sorts of messes. Not to mention the noise. I wouldn't be able to stand such a thing. Irritated, I make the trek down a familiar rocky slope, round a corner, and duck into my parents' cave. Thunder crashes outside. Steadily, the sky is growing dark, but inside the mountain it is even darker. It is a small cave I chose for them, but it is not far from mine, and it makes visiting convenient. Running my hand along the ragged wall, I find my way to my usual stone and take a seat, allowing my eyes to adjust. Slowly, they do. Before me stand two mounds of rock, cold and gray, mounds that I constructed myself, first with the passing of my father, and then with the passing of my mother, only a short while later. It was the rainy season when it happened, and that season is almost upon us now. My family, together, we were the last of the last, and, as far as I know, I am all that is left. This is my morning ritual, watching those ill-bred aliens, then visiting my parents' graves to mentally recite my mother's favorite prayers. I used to do prayers at the start of each day, but now must guard my mountain. It is terribly inconvenient, especially when I have much to do, hunting, gathering water, stockpiling dry firewood, making repairs to my tools and weapons. The tasks are endless. Those aliens squatting in my ancestors' temple have no consideration for my time. Life must be easy for them, with so many hands helping to do the work. But here it is just me. I rely on no one else, and if I am lazy for a day, then I grow hungry and weak, which only makes the following day's work that much harder. I scowl and thunder crashes once more. Then the first rain starts. It pours from the sky like a waterfall, and I sigh. Hunting will not be good today. It never is during the first rains. The creatures that are best for eating are all smart enough to hide in the beginning, but time passes and the rain does not stop, and eventually they grow hungry enough to venture out. I think of them, the forest animals. It is just the need for sustenance that draws them out, right? Or do they ever get restless? Itch to be out of the dark and lonely mountain catacombs, to finally stretch their limbs. I move to the mouth of my parents' cave, looking out at the gray veil the rain creates. I can't see the temple from here or the warm glow of their fires. And rain this heavy always drowns out any sound that might be coming from the alien village. Everything from the boisterous dinners they share to their foreign tongues and the raucous singing and laughter. It's funny that I've grown grateful for weather like this, but there is nothing I hate more than all the noise those strange aliens make. Loud, rude, that's what they are. So even though the hunting is bad and this is the season I lost my parents, it's still my favorite time of the year, if only for the fact that I can close my eyes and pretend those awful aliens haven't invaded my world.
Chapter 3. Lo. So, who'd you get in the Secret Santa drawing? April asks, her grin wide behind her mug. Nope, nope, nope. No ruining the surprise, Holly warns. How do you know anyone here even got your name? April counters. I don't want to know any of it. Are you saying you aren't going to try and guess? Everyone's going to be passing out gifts. You think you aren't going to draw a single conclusion? Drawing conclusions is completely different from insider information. I want Christmas morning to be a surprise, thank you very much. Yeah, I want something to look forward to on Christmas. Mel agrees. Boo. What about you, Lo?
I shrug, staring into my mug. I don't know. Christmas morning wasn't such a big deal for me growing up.
You didn't celebrate Christmas?
Holly seems saddened by the thought.
No, we celebrated. It's just Christmas Eve was always the bigger deal.
All the family would come over. There'd be a huge meal. I laugh, thinking about the massive spread.
We could have fed a village.
In the morning, we'd joke about being hungover from the food alone. Yeah, Christmas Day was all about recovering.
Hungover from eating?
April questions.
Well, we'd be hungover from all the booze, too. But we'd blame the food.
My smile must be a particularly wistful one, because the girls all give me sad looks. I shake myself from my thoughts and force a little brightness into my smile.
What kind of food would you have?
Turkey? Ham? Holly asks. She thinks about eating nearly as much as I do. Now this is a conversation worth diving into.
Pozole, tamales, posadas, buñuelos, ponche. The list could go on and on.
All my tías had a specialty. The only word I caught there was tamale, April admits.
I've had tamales before. They're good, Holly declares.
Oh yeah? Someone in your family makes them?
No, I got them from El Pollo Loco.
Oh yeah, El Pollo Loco,
April says excitedly. I've had El Pollo Loco tamales.
I fall back in my seat.
What kind of blasphemy is this?
Tamales from a fast food restaurant? My abuelita would die. If a white-haired Mexican lady didn't make it, it almost doesn't even count as a tamale.
Is El Pollo Loco not good?
Holly asks timidly. I can tell she thinks she's offended me.
Oy pues. I mean, it's better than nothing.
No, it's not. It's worse than nothing.
Why don't you make some tamales this year? Or what were some of the other things? Tostadas?
I bite my tongue.
Tostadas.
Honestly, if it isn't like mi abuelita Carmen made it, I think it would just make me sad. The masa and the seasoning are so important, and we just don't have that kind of stuff here.
I get it,
Holly tells me with sad eyes and confidence.
I miss candy canes.
I fight the urge to make a face. Candy canes couldn't hold a candle to some authentic tamales. Not on Earth or any other world. But Holly is trying to make me feel understood, so I force a smile to my face and let her pat my hand comfortingly.
Candy canes, fuzzy slippers, Christmas trees,
Holly says wistfully, thinking of all the things that made Christmas special back in her old life.
Food, mi familia, tradiciones, the peregrinaciones, I add.
Is that another food?
I smile and shake my head before sipping at my seta. These girls are like hermanas to me. There's no denying that. But there are certain things they just don't get. Cultural things that are a deep and integral part of my identity. I might be human like them, but in a lot of ways I still feel isolated here. The only Latina on a backwater planet.
Chapter 4. Reza. The night was a silent one, and if fires burned in the village, I couldn't see them through the haze of the rain, which is good. Whatever keeps those intruders in their dens is fine by me, as if anyone wants to hear talking, laughter, and music late into the night. Unfortunately, however, as the morning came on, the storm slowed to a halt. Perhaps the weather would still keep them indoors. I hurried to my post on the side of the mountain to ensure the aliens weren't congregating on the hill below. Yet, sure enough. Relentless, I huff. It's cold and wet out. The ground is nothing but mud. It's actually fairly dangerous, especially for the females, and still here they are, huddling together as they walk, laughing, happy. It's utterly annoying. I have far more important things to do than to stand around and watch these troublesome beings. I climb to a rocky perch to get out of the mud and pull my limbs in tight around me to fend off the cold. Then I curl my lip at the few males below. They shouldn't allow their females to be traipsing about in conditions like this. Can't they do their exercises in one of the many rooms in the temple? It's been years since I've been down the mountain, but I seem to recall room after empty room. Surely one of those would do better than this muddy hillside. Not that I care about their well-being, it's just they should. Besides, like I said, I have better things to be doing than spying on them. I mean, guarding my mountain. A strong breeze rushes across the mountainside, shaking the trees. Two males, the color of the setting sun, hover close to one of the females, wrapping their arms around her and shielding her from the cold. That's all well and fine, but what of the other females? Surely that one doesn't need the both of them to warm her, unless she's sickly. I wonder about that. What if the females are unwell? I focus in a little closer, searching for signs of illness. There are herbs in the forest, medicines, things that are meant for healing. The aliens might not know about them, might not be familiar with all the wild has to offer. I shake my head. That's their problem, though. It isn't like I'd march into their village and offer aid. No, I'd rather them leave. Find a new world that suits them better. One of the females, shorter than the others, with nutty brown hair, rubs at her arms and hangs back from the group. I remember her from yesterday. She's the one who passed out from overexertion after these pathetic exercises. Perhaps she is unwell. I climb forward on the rocks, trying to get a better look. Damn these aliens and their odd coloring. I can't tell from one to the other what they're supposed to look like. Some have horns, others do not. There is stony skin, earthy skin, and manes in every shade. I don't even know what I'm looking for. Is her coloring wrong? Being pale is a sign of sickness. That is what my mother used to say, and in her final days, I saw that it was true. Perhaps that is why the golden males cling to the pallid female they seem to share. In any case, the one with the brown hair atop her head, she looks healthy in color, even if she is a bit shorter than the rest. The alien invaders spread out on their stolen hill. One of the females leads the group, starting at the front. She instructs them, then moves through the ranks to adjust their poses. I frown, still not getting it. What are they even doing? They stand with their legs apart and arms held wide. It seems awkward. And the brown-haired one loses her balance. She's going to tumble. I lurch forward, extending my wings before I think better of it. Gods, what's gotten into me? It wasn't as if I could catch her, and anyway, she's fine. They all chuckle over her misstep before continuing with their routine. It causes an unfamiliar feeling to sweep over me. My cheeks and ears grow hot, and I frown angrily. Damn aliens! I wish they'd get back on their ships and leave once and for all. Still, I stand tall and try to mimic their pose. Front leg out, bent a bit at the knee, back leg straight, one arm to the front, one to the back. Palms up or down? Then they lean back, reaching one arm to the sky and touching their rear leg with the other. My balance seems to be off, too, and I stretch my wings, evening out my stance. I wonder if the instructor would call this cheating. Not that it matters, it's all foolish anyway. I crouch down and tuck my wings in close to my body. For the remainder of their session, I study the aliens, paying closer attention to the fine details of their poses. Perhaps I'll practice again later in my cave, even if it is a foolish pastime. I like the idea of being better at it than they are. Hell, I suppose I'm already better at it than the brown-haired one. Down below, she loses her balance once again, and my wings twitch instinctively. As a matter of fact, the more I watch her, the more I realize that she seems to be fairly terrible at this. I wonder if it's because she thinks it's foolish, too. Distracted, or perhaps bored, she tilts her chin up, staring at the heavy blanket of clouds above us. I follow her gaze. It appears as if the rain might start up again any moment, and when I look back at her, I realize she's lost track of the pose she's supposed to be doing, and the rest of the group has cycled into a new motion. She, however, doesn't seem to care. No, the brown-haired female has her face tilted toward me. This is my chance to get a better look at her. Instantly, I'm taken by the fact that she isn't unpleasant to look at. She's got dark eyes and high cheekbones. Her lips appear full and her nose petite. She smiles often and easily, seeming unafraid to laugh at her own mistakes. There is just something about her demeanor that seems wholly unlike my own. I shake free of the thought, these aliens, it must be simple to be so easygoing when they have so much help from one another. Give just one of them a long day of having to fend for themselves and they wouldn't be so quick with those smiles. I'm on the very edge of my rock, staring at her, bitter and resentful, when the smile drops from her face. She narrows her eyes in my direction. Damn it! I tuck my wings in close and dive behind a bush. Luck is on my side, however, because at that exact moment the clouds unleash a fresh storm. Rain pours from the sky, obscuring her view, and I watch from between the fronds of a thick fern as they clamor and run. Happily. I expect to hear them screech and complain, but that's not the sound that meets my ears. No, they're laughing, and that sound of it makes me scowl. They do not take this world seriously enough. The females cling onto one another and hurry down the hill, while the largest of the golden males hastily pulls his female into his arms and carries her as if she is injured or particularly cherished. They make their escape, and not once do they look back, even though they have left the brown-haired one behind. She stands there alone on the hill, looking up in my direction. Her eyes scan the mountain. Surely one of the males will notice that she has been left behind. Surely they will come for her. Any second now. But the group recedes into the distance, and the brown-haired female makes no effort to join them. Systematically, her gaze dissects my mountain, and I do the only thing I can. Duck lower behind my bush. They've never spotted me before today. Hell, I had begun to think their vision was impaired. Perhaps I even grew careless with that idea in mind. I hook a branch with my finger and pull it aside, hoping she's gone. Then I let out a heavy sigh. She's no longer in her spot on the hill. Oh, what a relief. That is, until I do a double take and see her slipping down the muddy slope, headed my way. Damn it all to hell, I've got to hide.
Chapter 5. Lo. Strangest thing. I could swear I saw someone up on the hill. A greenish Vendari? He was definitely one of the kings, because Hermano had wings. And that's one thing I know for sure about these aliens. The important ones, like our king and Beacon, they all have wings. What I can't make sense of, however, is why he's lurking in the bushes. So, I slide down the muddy hill, intent on finding out. It is slippery, though. I've got no traction and my downward speed exceeds my comfort level quite quickly. I yelp and use my hand to steady myself. Then, I'm wrist-deep in mud. But I do slow myself to a halt, so that's a plus. Carefully, I find my footing and frown down at my hand. Gross. I try to shake the mud off. Big chunks plop back down onto the ground, but I'm a mess. Oh well, that's just the way it is during the rainy season. I refocus my gaze back up the mountain. There's a rocky little outcropping that I make my target. I'm pretty sure that's where I saw him. Other than Rennick and the Red King, I haven't met any of the other big guys. But regardless of what some of the skeptics say, particularly mi amiga Gabriela, I think they're all pretty nice. I mean, they rescued us. Gabby thinks there's more to it than the aliens are telling, but she's paranoid. Which I understand. She's scared and doesn't want to trust them. Not to mention the fact that she's stubborn. She'd rather hang on to her idea.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?